Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jason is off tonight celebrating the end of a school year, and I know diagramming plays and whatever because he's got softball coaching to do. I've seen him coach soccer.
Is he any good?
He's positive, Perry. That's definitely there.
Positive Perry.
I mean, oh, good job, good job. You know, and it's good. Like, there's no negative energy, but the frustration does show every once in a while. I'll have to videotape the next time. I had a game. Ryan Hollins in for Jason Smith tonight. NBA veteran, our teammate here on Fox Sports Radio. The Opinionated Seven Footers is the podcast alongside Brendan Haywood.
In for Positive Perry.
Exactly. And you see him. I mean, he's everywhere. Like, you know, you go to the Ryan Hollins. The man is a media mogul. I'm happy that he had some break in his schedule to come in and hang out with me.
Oh, don't do that, Mike.
No, it's a big deal to have you here. Okay,
Mike,
we're in your time of year.
Mike, I'm holding on, man. I'm not happy to be here, Mike.
No, we don't do that. Happy to be here. That's day one stuff. You've been around. You've been hitting the circuit hard, and certainly we appreciate you being available,
Mike,
to jump in. Nah, hey, we got to wash you up so you keep coming back.
I have the check in the mill, Mike.
We'll just continue to talk prospecting as we get back into our sports card investing for future years, but see which of these tertiary players are going to roll up and become something special. Right now, we've got an absolute blowout happening here. The Phoenix Suns with a 20-point burial ongoing here against the Nuggets midway through the third quarter. As you look for the Nuggets, 20% from three-point range, shooting 34.5% for the night, only 6 free throw attempts. That was something we circled last game because they only had 2 free throw attempts in the first half, 6 for the game. And you look at the Suns, conversely, only shooting 45%. Doesn't matter. Still closing out and making some plays. 40%, though, from three-point land to give the big lead. 4 players out of the starting lineup already in double digits, and you got Chris Paul with 8, 5, and 10 already.
Listen, man, Phoenix they're looking dangerous. They're taking care of business. They're high energy, and you're looking at Denver. I mean, Jokic has 17 so far, but there's no help. You know, there's just not enough firepower there. And when you're getting pick and rolled to death on the other side by Chris Paul, and then Jokic has to manufacture every single point, man, that is a struggle. And just as great as Jokic is on the offensive end, scoring and passing, DeAndre Ayton is rolling right down the teeth of the defense and having a field day. And Mike, you called it earlier. Ayton's got 13 points, 8 rebounds right now, okay? He's a plus 13 on the board, so you don't have a shot. If DeAndre Ayton is a double-double guy, you don't have a shot.
5 of 9 from the field, 3 of 4 from the foul line, 13 and 8, plus 11 on the night. Porter Jr. sitting at 2 for 11. That's the guy I circle. Because if he's not shooting then it's all falling apart. Campazzo, 1 of 7. Gordon, 3 of 7. And Austin Rivers thought he'd have a bigger role tonight. Only 5 attempts in his 22 minutes thus far. They did get 10 points thus far from Barton off the bench. So a little bit of scoring, but right now a 15-point lead as you and I sit here coming up on 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Now, as we watch these teams, look, no danger. Monty Williams, runner-up to the Coach of the Year voting, and Michael Malone. Don't call him Mike. He will correct you. Kind of like when people call me Michael. That means I'm in trouble with somebody. Just call me Mike. We're good. And we roll, like, only my mom and a few select folks still go to the Michael. Too formal. Or unless I have to sign a check.
I won't say the name, but there's somebody I know that wanted their full name called and not their shortened name.
Really?
Okay. And I felt awkward saying the full name because I feel like a full name is formal.
He said it's mom calling you. Am I wrong to feel that?
You got middle name in there, too?
I was almost thrown as disrespectful for not saying this person's full name.
Wow. Yeah, no, I think you assume shortened.
Am I wrong for that?
Right? No, I think you're right with that.
Yeah, normally
I always assume the shorter.
Yeah.
You know, the whatever the nickname you would call it. And if they want to correct you, they correct you.
You call me Ryan Hollins from here on out.
I'll just call you sir.
No,
Ryan Hollins, tell me all about, I mean, well, repetition is how people learn, right?
Oh, so if we
keep saying, hey, there's no disputing who's coming up with the opinion. As Ryan Hollins, what do you think about this? No, well, because, look, my daughter, my younger daughter is a soccer player. She's Madeline. And it was always Maddie, like we had it to where it was easy. And then eventually it just became Mad.
Yeah, because
so she'd run out. Hey, Mad,
when you're in trouble, Madeline, get in here.
Madeline Grace, there's problems.
Right.
For me, it's the Michael Patrick. Very few folks get the Mikey card that they can play without getting in trouble.
Oh,
but yeah, you go full name. Normally, I think you've taken umbrage with something I've said or done.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm with you.
I thought I wasn't. You know, I was trying to be, you know, respectful by not going full name.
Well, you know, you try, but you don't know. Like, if someone's not up front just saying, hey, by the way, I like to go by, because I used to be called Michael Harmon in all the promos, and there is one that's still floating around, but I don't go by Michael. Like, I've gone by Mike forever.
You've earned it.
But when I first started in the business, unfortunately, it coincided with NCIS beginning its run when I started doing a lot of radio hits, so people would call me Mark all the time. So normally I would give you the first one, and I'd correct you nicely. Oh, you know what? I'd love to have a serial on CBS so popular and huge, and obviously make a joke about his, you know, filmography. Here's a little summer school or, you know, all of those things. It was great. And then the co-host would come back and go with a Mark again. And it's like, Mike, third time. Oh, I'm through a tunnel. I'm sorry. I only hung up on a few guys, but it'd be like,
oh, good.
I earned the respect, I think.
You
called me on to be a guest, you know, or just call me Harmon. That's the easy way. Just call me by the surname.
When I hear Mike, I don't think Jordan. I don't think Jackson. I don't think Tyson. I think Harmon.
Look
brother.
At you.
That's what I
do. We'll clip that off and save that for posterity. no question. All right, back out to 21 points. 3:30 left.
Oh, Chris Paul, 24 assists to 1. Oh my God.
Yeah, for the playoffs, I want to say he's at like 9.3-1 ratio or something like that.
God, 24 assists to 1?
Yeah, he's 13 assists and 0 turnovers tonight.
That Denver defense.
Yeah, well, they'll get you, or they won't, is more the issue. And speaking of that, you got a number of teams now in the coaching carousel. Now, I went on a little rant on Sunday doing Fox Sports Sunday alongside LeVar Arrington, and I just raised the theoretical, why can we not use the term fired? Why is everything mutual parting of the ways?
Because you don't want the coach to not get another job. But
these are professionals that are watching it.
Nah.
The local media is going to have their way. The fans are going to have their way.
Yeah, but you soften the blow. You don't put bad energy in the air. Fire does have a bad word. And, you know, as an organization, you do want to protect yourself, because when you're speaking about someone that got fired, well, what was wrong with you? You hired them. So mutual parting of ways.
Well, that's
you
the
know,
GM when he gets a couple of... couple of hires under his belt, yeah.
I hope I don't disrespect by saying it, but you know, your ex-wife, how crazy, you married her.
Sure.
Right? You walked down the aisle, she had your kids, you know, in a scenario, like, you know, like, hey, we just decided to go different ways.
Had a good run. Yeah, you go. All right, fair enough. Good analogy.
You don't like it, though. You like the fired.
But we've just gone away from it. Seemingly.
Yeah.
Or is it just the difference of if you're let go in season, it's okay to say fired versus the end of season, it becomes mutual parting of ways?
I'm not a fan of the in season. The in season let goes are tough.
Well, but I mean, look at what it's done for the Hawks, right? And that's one of the jobs talk about, which may or may not be available, right? Indiana, they fired Bjorkgren. You've got Boston is available. A lot of names swirling about there. Portland now with Stotts gone, and a lot of intrigue with Jason Kidd not wanting to really be part of what Damian Lillard was cooking? Is there something? So, that, like, that's the question I have behind the scenes. Is there something brewing there? Either a
you want to hear what I think?
Coup in L.A. or Damian Lillard has already told him I ain't gonna be here.
We're on the same page. When I hear, if I'm Frank Vogel and I hear that Jason Kidd has passed up on a head coaching opportunity to coach Damian Lillard and C.J. Watson, I'm shaking in my boots. Jason, why aren't you leaving? You got a great relationship with LeBron. You're LeBron's guy. I came in and I got a championship here. But I came in and I took the deal that Tyronn Lue didn't want to take, which means I'm very replaceable. If I'm Frank Vogel, I do not like to hear that Jason Kidd did not want to go and coach Damian Lillard in Portland.
Well, because remember,
what's cooking?
No, that's right. Because remember, going back to the beginning of last year, it was he's over his shoulder, right? How many mock-ups did you see? Photoshop jobs of any photo from any movie where a guy's looking over his shoulder, and it was Jason Kidd looking over Frank Vogel, and everybody was waiting for it to blow up. Will these guys buy into Vogel? Is it going to be okay? How soon does it happen before the snap happens? And he's Thanos'd out of here, and Jason Kidd takes over. And now this stays. So, like, it's one of those two things, right? It tells me either Lillard, even though he's got this extension, has decided he ain't going back there, which is a whole other curiosity, right? There's been some reports that are linking him potentially showing up here with the Clippers,
ooh,
which is a curiosity for sure. And how you make all those salaries mesh together. It'll be fun and exciting, of course. But there's always a way. Always a way. You can always finesse the numbers. And let's face it, you go into luxury tax territory.
Find a way.
All Steve Ballmer's doing is reaching into his left sock for that extra money that he had just for walking around, right?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Right? You figure it out. So, like, those are the only two scenarios that make sense for me. Jason Kidd's already been told something's cooking here.
Huh.
And maybe LeBron's not happy or whatever the case may be, even though LeBron stumped for some of the guys that found their way onto this roster.
Yes.
And we know that, right? Because one of the stories that was circulating today was that Andre Drummond in buyout season was promised to start. Now, part of that is Anthony Davis doesn't want to play the five.
Yeah.
The other is we want you to come to town, so we'll tell you whatever we need to.
He started.
Most of the time,
it's your job to lose, and it was his job to lose.
And he lost it. So, as well as your touches and everything else. And look, we talked about it before. Egos get in, right? Your expectations of where you fit in the pecking order. And perhaps he thought he should have had a larger role in things as he went. And he had a couple of big games when they needed him. And other times was a non-factor coach. You know, did not play coach's decision at the end of the bench. But this Jason Kidd thing really throws a wrench into all of these other job searches that we're talking about because you're looking at four opportunities that are open as we sit. And Atlanta with Nate McMillan, we don't know what's going on there either.
Would you be surprised if Frank Vogel was fired this offseason? Would that shock you after winning a championship the year prior?
No.
Why wouldn't that surprise you? I feel maybe I'm just a loyal guy. I know, you know, Jeannie doesn't like letting anybody in the Laker fam. Why would that not surprise you?
Because it's I don't think you get the long leash that you once did. And really, it's all going to depend on what number six says. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Is that I want to follow up with one, too, because I just thought about something. Go ahead.
How about we put a pin in it, and we talk about
this.
You got a jersey change and maybe a change in the pecking order. We'll talk about Frank Vogel. We'll talk about the Lakers and the postscript. Yeah, you care, because you know what? The map said you guys hate watch a hell of a lot of Laker games. So we're going to talk about that. Hey, reminder that we're brought to you by Indeed. He's Ryan Hollins. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith off tonight. He'll be back tomorrow. He's off eating cheese, as we discussed yesterday. Yeah, we'll talk about the Lakers and the decompression of what was a crazy year with a terrible ending next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Welcome back in. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jason is off tonight. This beat is a bit hypnotic from DJ Alex Teicher. Thanks to our guys, Ryan Bershinger, Justin Frostberg on the production side, Ralph Irvin, you hear on the updates. We'll talk to Ralph in just a couple of minutes. And of course, in for Jason Smith, my guy, Ryan Hollins. At the Ryan Hollins is where you want to check him out on Twitter.
The MEGA.
All the goodness he's got flowing.
The MEGA Ryan Hollins. MEGA.
Smeagol? What?
MEGA.
all 7'5" of him. I'm just going to keep adding inches. 95-70 your score, just inside 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The only thing you're looking at this point is, all right, what's the margin of victory? Hope nobody gets hurt. And then you're looking at your prop bets. That's really all that's left in this game, Ryan Hollins.
PSA. Phoenix is solid. They're good. But don't throw the championship parade yet. But they're doing their thing. There's something to be said about a team that just does what they're supposed to do. And right now, Phoenix is doing what they're supposed to do. When they beat the Lakers, hey, man, that's what a 2-7 seed should look like, right?
Do your job, right? The old Bill Belichick, New England Patriots line. Just go out and do your job, right? It's what I've taught my kids. If I've failed at everything else, I've taught them one lesson that they should be able to take through their lives. You got to be prepared and control what you can. The world's crazy around you, right? From relationships to schoolwork, right? The results may not be there, but if you put in the work, it should follow, but it doesn't always, right? Maybe you transpose a number or whatever, something goes awry, the presentation doesn't go as well as you want. Likewise, in your work life, you work as hard as you can. Let's call it what it is. There are games, but you're part of a game, right? In the larger scheme, you're part of a game that you cannot control. So control what you can, and your effort and showing up, which a lot of folks still fail to do, is really all you can control. And likewise here for the Suns, they're like, we got an opportunity. We're on our home court. We got our fans. And right now there's nobody helping Nikola Jokic, which means let's run it up. Let's go.
With no Jamal Murray, you're supposed to be down 25. I'm sorry, there's no Jamal Murray. That's a big factor. You got Chris Paul and Devin Booker on one side, and no Jamal Murray.
Get back to more stars than you got. 11-5-15 tonight for Chris Paul. We'll get deeper into that game as it gets towards the finale. But we're talking about the Lakers, and we've got coaching jobs that are open, and that's always a fun wheel to spin because all the names that start cycling in here, the Celtics might look at Mike D'Antoni. Okay. And then you've got Indiana comes open, and I saw Juwan Howard's name start drifting that way as he's rebuilding the Michigan Wolverines. Would he jump that fast? Who knows what the career ambitions are, and that's what you always go back to. You don't know a man's motivations. You don't know what his family conversations are. You try to read the tea leaves, and you say, well, he's got a pretty good scenario and set up there where he can be a kingmaker and a hero and one of those longtime guys. Maybe that's not the dream job. It is for a moment, but there's the higher ambitions. And whether college and pro, we can always fight about that, especially once you start getting into these new rules, right? Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski bow out as we get into name, image, and likeness. Not that they're necessarily afraid of it outwardly, but internally going, this changes everything we got to do. And I want no part of it, right?
Absolutely. And, people don't understand, as far as job security, the NBA head coach is probably the worst job.
Well, but
that's the worst.
But
you get a lot of money, but no security,
but
man.
That's what we were talking about, right? Talking about this Jason Kidd story, because I think this is the linchpin to all of it, right? And Nate McMillan, does Atlanta do what we would all think is the right thing? Look what Trae Young and that squad did after he took over.
Oh, yeah.
That you would think there's going to be a big contract offer and he stays. But look, the world's strange. You never know. You never know what the meetings are behind closed door between the ownership, the GM, and the coach that's there. And with other jobs, maybe Nate McMillan's looking at another opportunity that would be great for him. I don't know. Lloyd Pierce, will he get another shot right away? Who knows? But when Jason Kidd says, I don't want to go to Portland, that led us to the fork in the road of the two things that seem most probable. Damian Lillard has made it clear, I'm not staying in Portland long-term, even if I've got an extension in place. Or Jason Kidd knows, and maybe it's one of the other jobs, but I would say he likes being on the staff with the Lakers, that maybe the opening is there. You ask the question, hey, would you potentially see a guy getting bounced after winning a title? I say, yeah, because I don't think that long tail at the end of, hey, you won, is there anymore. Like when you win a Super Bowl in the NFL, it's always been you got 5-6 years maybe before it's like, all right, you haven't won again, so it's time to change it up. That's starting to shorten too, right? With the boo birds and everybody are out. It doesn't mean you get fired, but the seat gets really hot really fast. Likewise with the NBA, really it comes down. LeBron James announced he's changing his jersey number, right? Number yep. 6 again, going back to what he wore in Miami. Evidently he's wearing number 6 in Space Jam. Look, it's merchandising, it's sale. Everybody go, oh, well, look at all those jerseys. No, he'll sell a ton more jerseys. And it'll be all fine. I know there was a big deal when the NFL changed the rules and they started calculating what it's going to cost to replace all those jerseys. It's LeBron. It's a new jersey. People are going to buy it. Okay? End of story. Evidently, Anthony Davis is going to stay with number 3 and not go back to 23, which was one of the speculative points from earlier today. But if LeBron James were to say, you know what, we got that bubble win, and some are dismissive of it. I championship's a championship, right? You got to gut it out. That one, I think, was as much psychological as physical, right, getting through the bubble. But then you have this year, and they were hurt a lot. A lot of games missed. And trying to get behind, I'd love a documentary on the way this season flowed, that second half of it, right? In and out of the lineup, James and Anthony Davis. But if LeBron James is looking around and he's not thrilled with what he sees, couldn't he go to Jeannie Buss? I mean, she did name him one of the 5 greatest Lakers of all time.
He is, if not the greatest.
Who, LeBron?
Yeah.
Not as a Laker.
Not as a Laker, but as a player.
But you're going to listen to his opinion, right? Yeah. He still moves the needle. That's why she included him on that list. Knows she still has to deal with him, yeah. Right? If he was gone, didn't matter.
Oh, he's a Laker for life.
Like, I mean, you got Jerry West that got really upset about it. I think she thought, Jerry's not going to care about this nonsense. And then he got mad, and he should have. But you got to realize the game you're playing.
Here's the deal. For one, you know, LeBron does an excellent job of, you know, if he does want to make that call, removing himself from any situation because he doesn't want to be the coach killer. Or
plausible deniability, or Ryan Hollins.
The general manager, yeah. LeBron, the coach. But what's interesting to me, Mike, when you win a championship on any level, as a coach, as a player, it puts you into a prestigious club.
Sure.
An exclusive club. Okay. You walk around, you flash that ring, and it's a whole different ball game. And I want to ask you, why is there a feeling that there's no respect on Frank Vogel, on even Ty Lue, of winning a NBA championship with LeBron James? Why does it seem like, because I looked at you and I asked you with a straight face, would you be surprised if Frank Vogel's fired, and you didn't even budge, you didn't bat an eyelash, and you told me I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
So Mike, why is it that there's no respect on winning a championship coaching LeBron James? Is that a good or bad thing for LeBron James, and what does that say about him?
I don't think it's just LeBron James. I think it's where we're at in the NBA. Other than Popovich, he seems to be the outlier.
Wow.
Everybody else is the superstar gets credit and gets the blame.
I feel like they forced us to like
Steve
Kerr.
Well, he also had an opinion on everything, so kind of forced it. But they were likable for about 18 months.
Yeah.
Right? The Warriors were a good feel. They're one of the great stories. There should be books about this, of how our society reacts, right? Because normally it's a slower burn from your new, hey, we like this, this is a new style, to, damn it, I'm tired of these guys. And we got there in about 18 months with the Warriors. They weren't cute anymore. A certain like Steph, there's an appreciation, but I think the larger fan base was tired of it.
Yeah.
Because it was all, you know, like you only like the baby face so much. You need some villainy. And Draymond gives you that in spurts, but he's not over the top. Right? Even most of his technicals are just kind of messing with guys to try to get them out of their game.
Yeah.
They're not Dennis Rodman shoving a dude or the Detroit Pistons going up and forearm shivering guys. We talked about the Bulls before. Folks seem to forget also Rodman wasn't exactly a highly coveted piece when he joined the Bulls. So whenever you get all excited about that, that's ego management. And that's one of the big things, right, for Phil Jackson. And also I think for coaches now, they should get more credit than they do the way teams are assembled, particularly those that are fighting for championships, is that you do have the alpha players. I mean, there's always alphas, but now we're talking the best of the best, right? Like with what Steve Nash is doing in Brooklyn. We joke about what his role may or may not be, but he's still got to keep those three guys happy, keep the ball moving. You see how they move the ball around the perimeter. Like there's when they play together, it's a beautiful thing to watch, right? And even the role players, you know, Joe Harris standing by himself and looking around, shoots the three and just gets this smile on his face like, I can do this all day.
Yes.
Right? I mean, yes. Hey, thank you very much. Like all of those guys. So I think we're just at an age where the superstar is going to take the credit, right? Because LeBron has been credited for every championship he's ever won.
Yes, he has.
Right? I mean, there's been no that is just fact.
Every single one.
Right? The coach is an afterthought. Right? From Ty Lue to certainly for Frank Vogel, it was LeBron got AD to come to LA. Ergo.
He did.
Right.
He did.
Right. But by doing so, you have now two of the top five players, top 10, whatever, wherever you're putting Anthony Davis. I don't know. I can't count on him to finish with regularity.
He was considered a top five player.
But as he came over, and you can argue about how he got out of New Orleans, the fact of the matter is LeBron got him here, and they won. But I don't think Frank Vogel did a hell of a job, right? And they bought into what he was cooking.
They bought in.
But I think history says that's LeBron's title. And the coach is irrelevant.
Oh, God.
Likewise, Clay and Steph, Steve Kerr's kind of there.
Are you surprised that there's no blame being shifted towards Kerr? Because keep in mind, they're in the A spot, could not beat a Memphis team that they beat less than a week prior to make the playoffs. Now, the play-in game was funky for everybody, sure. But you still had Steph, Draymond, a nice payroll at hand. And you couldn't make the playoffs.
Well, you had two shots, right? Because they had the Lakers beat. They had the Lakers beat. They let them off the hook. Thank you, Denny Green. And then they had Memphis.
Yep. At what point are you – why is no one looking at Steve Kerr? Why is it just, you know, okay,
because Clay's in street clothes. And even Steph, depending on, you know, where you go. You come here, you come Jason and I. You know, I'm not going as far as the system quarterback stuff that Jason does. But Steph doesn't get nearly – the blowback that he should for being the superstar and leading and being a leader. And like, cause he's got to finish that game.
Yeah.
Right. And Draymond's got to hit a layup against the Lakers. Right. But the bottom line is they didn't finish, but Steve Kerr, nobody's talking about Steve Kerr. There was a diminished team. That was barely sneaking into a play-in round.
Kerr has gotten over that hump of this wasn't KD's, this wasn't Clay's, you know, I'm here to stay. And the unfortunate part, but the reality of sports, is that Frank Vogel hasn't gotten past that. And I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but Jason Kidd knows something that we don't know.
No, but that's it. Like right now, Frank Vogel's the tag along. Behind the scenes, he might be the architect of the greatest whiteboards and system we ever have devised, right? And he might have rows of them.
Yes.
Here, let me get, we're down to the 10th one. Look at this defensive set I've designed. And that's great. You're never going to know because it's all placed on LeBron one way or the other. But this year, I think he had a fall guy because he had Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
and I argued this before AD even got hurt, was that this was set up because of the expectations on AD. Then he had that bad game one, and you saw the poison pen come out. Bill Plaschke of the LA Times, amongst a number of others, going, hey, this guy's getting paid all this money, the expectations that he was going to come in and he's going to be the alpha ahead of LeBron as LeBron starts to get older, and he's not ready. And then he gets hurt and he's unavailable. And what happened? He got killed for it. And then he went on that court, and I contended, like, you can go check the tape. We did it live as it happened before he even took the court. It's like he got bullied onto the court. And that became the popular thing after he went off the court. But we said it live as he's getting ready and warming up. It's like he's bullied because he's all mad about the Charles Barkley comment and the reaction to all of that. and he didn't want to be seen as soft, so he gave it the old college try.
So you don't think it was genuine?
I think any other scenario he doesn't get out there. I think he wanted to. Like, obviously, you want to do what you can.
Yeah, but
I think a lot of it was, I can't sit in street clothes because I'm getting killed. Because nobody knows how bad it was, right?
No.
You go into groins. Because the other thing is, it immediately, what happened? It turned about his conditioning and his dedication. And it took anything from LeBron. Like, he got nothing coming out of this series.
True.
Other than leaving the court early, he got nothing. A little bit on the handshake because people are still obsessed with handshakes for some reason. I don't care. Whatever. If the players don't like it, the players would say something about it. And if they don't pipe up in the postgame, hey, I was offended LeBron didn't walk over and give me a hearty congratulations. Who the hell cares? But the fact is, Anthony Pretty Davis much. Is the guy that wore it for that series. And now going into the offseason, will he be ready? Will he be dedicated? And I think a lot of that, again, you know, Frank Vogel might end up being the fall guy on the larger scale.
And you know what? Like we said, even coming into the deal, Tyronn Lue, the reason he wasn't the next Lakers head coach is he felt like the contract that they were offering him had set him up to be succeeded by Jason Kidd or whoever was in play. There was no security, and he's a coach that had a championship on his name. So he's like, I've coached LeBron. I was a Laker. Put some respect on my name, or I'm not going to head over. And he did. He passed up on the job and ends up with the Clippers job. It's such an interesting dynamic, and I think the Lakers are so cognitive of their PR relations and the way that they're viewed in the media that they're going to really tiptoe around this. I mean, think about how long it took for Genie to move on from Walton, and I like Luke. I think he's doing a solid job. He knows his basketball, but ultimately – things did not work out with the Lakers, and they held on to Luke. Even it got to the point where Magic was just like, he's not my guy.
He's not my guy. And we'll get into Magic. Maybe we'll talk about Magic because how often do you see him start to get the acid tongue on him the way he went at Dennis Schroeder?
Oh,
by the way, the best
yeah.
move for the Lakers, the contract Dennis Schroeder didn't sign.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jason off tonight. Ryan Hollins, NBA vet, the Opinionated Seven Footers podcast. At the Ryan Hollins, where you find him on Twitter, hanging out with us tonight. You find me over at Swollen Dome. Keep the comments coming. We're rambling, gambling, trying to keep our eyes and head on a swivel as we watch all the sporting action. A lot of baseball going. But it's a final in Phoenix. 123-98 is your final. Postscript is Nuggets appear cooked. But like they always say, it's not a series till a home team loses a game. Which is kind of funny because it was a series every which way between the Mavericks and Clippers in the last round. But here, Nuggets just absolutely blown out. No answer. Great depth. Six guys in double figures for the Suns. We'll talk more about that with Dan Wojcicki coming up about 10 minutes from now. But I want to go back to that Mavericks and Clippers series. And one guy in particular, Kristaps Porzingis, the guy that was such a big deal in New York that there were multiple songs that we played on the show for a long, long time. But he has become, well, a shell of what he was anticipated to be. Ryan Hollins, I think, would be the kind way to say it. The regular season averages, all fine and good. 20.1 points per game. Rebounds, up about 9. Career average is 7.8. But a guy that misses a lot of time. Only 43 games played this year, 57 last year. Okay, fine, closer to full. Didn't play the year before. And then you go back to, like, career high is 72 games. Okay, cool. Put a pin in that. But when we look at where he's at now, Luka needed a number two guy. Didn't have a number two guy. Tim Hardaway Jr. can shoot a bit, but you look at, he doesn't fill much in the other stat lanes, right? There's not a lot going on there. For Porzingis, you've got a guy that's 7'3 hanging out at the perimeter, giving you little in the low post, which is why they ended up going to Boban, who is a brute force, but doesn't have a lot of touch around the rim and finesse and those kind of things. So I think you're limited with what you can call to get it down to him, right? A lot of it is off makes and putbacks and maybe some broken plays and just like throwing guys out of the way. But with Porzingis, now you got a big contract and a guy that really doesn't seem to have that role. And he's claiming he's unappreciated, feels like an afterthought. It's like, well, yeah, you didn't bring what they paid for at this point.
Yeah, it's really tough because when Kristaps first came into the league, you saw a 7'2 guy, 7'2, 7'3, whatever he is, that can, you know, shoot threes, dribble. He's not soft. I know a lot of people say he's soft. He's not soft. But he hadn't really, I agree, Mike, hadn't developed into a number two option. And the Dallas system is pretty much, you know, points being scored by Luka or assists scored. Everything runs through Luka.
Through Luka, sure.
The problem and the frustration comes when Kristaps gets a mismatch. They're able to guard him with smaller players, and he's rolling to the mid post. He's not burying guys in the paint using his size and scoring. So I don't think anybody's expecting him to be Joel Embiid, but he's not giving you the performances that he expects. Now, I felt that in Game 7, he came out like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't the best performance, but I just thought he was aggressive. He's so good, he's got to be aggressive every time he touches the basketball. And, you know, I was always taught as a big guy that the energy you have in posting up, you'll force the guards to throw you the ball, you know?
But that's the thing, right? If you're going to hang out at the three-point arc and just wave at Luka, how many opportunities are you going to get?
Yeah, and I'm not fighting that if the play is for him to space, but the times he dives, he's not posting up head on the rim. Or, for instance, we all know darn well, when Luka goes out the game and if Porzingis is in, the other team's going on a run. So
right.
He's
no,
not
no
at
question.
This at this point in his career, if we said, okay, we're going to run offense to you, KP, go get busy, he's not quite there. But he's an excellent player. He can shoot. I mean, he shoots the lights out. You know, no one's questioning that there. But you would like to for him, and the idea was, and the excitement was when he came from New York, oh, the Knicks messed up again. How do you get rid of Porzingis?
Sure.
How do you get rid of Porzingis? What's wrong with them? You know, another Knick move, and it looks actually is turning out to be a smart move by the Knicks as they, you know, got into the playoffs.
Start
this
to
year.
Rebuild, and we'll see what they do
exactly.
In this offseason. It's a curiosity. Smith says they're one away. I say it's more like two or two and a half, but either way, because you're competing with Brooklyn at least for one more year. And then opt-outs
yes.
and all that fun
yes.
stuff starts to come. But this was fun. I tweeted this one or texted this one to you and our executive producer, Justin Frostberg, Mavs Nation. Stop the slander. And it was a picture of Porzingis in armor on a unicorn. Show some love to Kristaps. He's Ryan Hollins. I'm Mike Harmon, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, we talk to Dan Wojcicki. He makes sense of the playoffs. Let's go.